You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Real estate markets, they are tight all over the country, and we know here in Idaho, there's no exception. But it's not just homeowners that are buying houses right now. When you take in record low interest rates, a nationwide housing shortage, as well as a renewed interest in single family homes, well, that's actually fueled a new wave of real estate investors. So what does that actually mean for the Treasure Valley? Margaret Carmel with BoiseDev.com dug into this in a two-part series, and she is joining us today to talk about what she found out. Margaret, good to have you on the show.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So can you set the scene for us first, Margaret, when it comes in particular to the Treasure Valley and what we know in particular about kind of this renewed interest, I think, in single family homes, because this is outside of like big metro areas, correct?
Yes. So during the pandemic, there was this push of people that had remote jobs wanting to leave, you know, their dense city areas, maybe, you know, in the Bay Area, New York City, these other big metros, and go find kind of a mid-sized city to live in where they can have a single family home and they can have some space. And especially now that people are going to be able to work remotely. And so there was a lot of, you know, influx of tech folks and people in other industries coming into cities like ours, coming into other cities like Austin was another big one that attracted a lot of people. And even just cities in more rural Oregon that previously people, you know, there's this term that popped up called Zoom towns. Is it a boom towns? Because people can work from Zoom. And so they can go live wherever they want. And maybe they want to go live in a place like Boise. And so there's been that kind of boost in interest in these homes. But also it's not, but the interest in these homes is not just people with, you know, 2.4 kids and a dog who want a white picket fence, right? There's a lot of interest that is coming in for these properties from investor groups, people who want to make money flipping, flipping real estate, selling it, or even just holding on to it until the values go up, doing Airbnbs, a variety of reasons. And that is kind of fueling this new rapid purchase of homes. And it's a little different than what we saw during the Great Recession, because there are a shortage of homes. You know, this isn't overbuilding. It's like there is this big demand. And part of that demand is, you know, people looking for homes, but it's also kind of inflated by all of these investors jumping in the market and wanting to capitalize on that.
So what stood out to me, Margaret, in your first article was that one in five homes are being purchased by investors. And I've lived here for a long time. And that even surprised me.
Right. And I think that number shocked a lot of people. So nationwide, there's a new study that I referenced in my article from a real estate consulting firm out in California that found nationwide, about a fifth of homes are getting purchased by investors now. And that number tracks here in Boise, and it's because there's roughly 80% of homes in Ada County that are using the homeowner's exemption, which means that people who own the homes are going to be going to be living there. And so when we say investors, we can mean different people, you know, and there's different kinds of investors. There's massive firms, massive out-of-state operations that can comb through databases, and with the advent of the internet, people can set up certain software that can say, I want to see every house in America that's going to be less than $200,000, and just I'm going to buy it. And they can put offers in within minutes. It's a really, really just, it's crazy. It's a crazy system, and it allows people to basically comb through all these listings. And actually the numbers for homes that are purchased by investors less than $200,000 is a third nationwide. It's even higher than one, you know, than, you know, all of the homes in the United States. And what that does is it jacks up the prices, because if all those homes at the bottom of the price point get bought by investors who turn it into an Airbnb or a rental, or they paint it and they redo the kitchen real quick, mm-hmm. and they sell it for $50,000-$60,000 more. All that does is increase the price point, and then it beats out those young families, those old, you know, lower income people who are just on that cusp of being able to afford a home. Then at the bottom of the market, they're out of reach, and that kind of loses, they lose out on that generational wealth that comes from buying a home.
Mm-hmm. So, Margaret, I'm curious then, because I know you also spoke with local realtors about this phenomenon with these real estate investors coming in. And this isn't new to the Treasure Valley. I mean, we saw this before the Great Recession. I mean, Boise's all seems to always be on a, you know, top list of places to live, et cetera. But what do realtors think about these investors coming in and doing this? Do they feel that they are the main reason as to why we're seeing the housing prices skyrocket like they are?
So I interviewed the president of the Boise Regional Realtors, and she was pretty skeptical of that. You know, she said, well, this is not taking into account the fact that sometimes people will buy a home in Boise ahead of a few years they need to move here so that they can afford it before the prices go up. Or maybe that's someone just in town that owns two or three duplexes and they rent them out, or other aspects of it. You know, she wasn't too concerned about it. And she said, well, this isn't really a new thing. And it's always been happening. And she also pointed out that there's this narrative in the community that all these homes are going for cash. All, you know, mm-hmm. everyone's buying with cash buyers, and that's not necessarily true. So the minority of people, it's still a minority of people that are buying with cash. And it is going up. It is increasing, but it is still not the majority of everyone is buying with cash. And so she kind of said, well, let's make sure that we're not overstating. But you also need to remember that it's probably going to depend on what realtor you talk to. I bet if there are realtors out there who are advocating to buy home, you know, who are trying to find homes for people to buy, you know, maybe who are on that lower end of that income scale, they might have a different perspective, you know, just like any other profession. There's going to be different points of view from everyone. But I think that the, you know, the president of the Realtors Association just really wanted people to not panic and just say, this is a natural part of the economy. This is always happening. And it's what happens when you have a place that has a high quality of life. And Boise has that high quality of life.
And I can understand that, Margaret, but I also think this idea of like, don't panic, can be hard to swallow for a lot of folks. Because if you are, let's say, a first-time home buyer, maybe you are someone in your 20s or 30s, as was traditional when people would sometimes first buy their first homes, our cost of living is part of the issue, right? I mean, people's wages are not what they should be in order to be able to purchase homes at this price. So, I mean, what is this doing for folks who want to get into the housing market, who want to buy a home and actually live in it? I mean, I think rightfully so, there could be a sense of panic about that.
And you're right. And really what this is doing is this influx of investor money, especially buying up these homes at the bottom of the market, it's going to make housing in the United States permanently more expensive. And then mm-hmm. we take a look at that combined with the fact that, you know, building material prices have more than tripled in the past year with lumber, there's shortages of other materials. It is more expensive to build a home. And something, you know, to keep in mind, and I've talked about it a little bit on this program before, is that some of this goes all the way back to the Great Recession. Because during the Great Recession, in the years after, building stopped, right? But mm-hmm. people didn't stop moving to the United States or having kids in the United States. And the population kept growing. So now we're basically created a lag in the amount of homes available. And we're seeing this gap now that there are not enough homes for the people who want to buy them. And so that jacks up the price too. And so whenever you add the fact that it is increasingly expensive to build a house, on top of the fact that you have the market is sort of warped by this out-of-state investor money, it creates a situation where home ownership in the United States, I expect, will be, if the economy continues the way it does, and there's really no indication that it won't, considering the housing shortage, then it's, you know, buying a house is going to be something that is more out of reach for a higher percentage of Americans. Mm-hmm. Something else that's sprung up after the recession is, during the recession, there were these home investor companies, and what they did was they made their business on buying foreclosed homes and then selling and then renting them. And so you had these mm-hmm. subdivisions of all these rental homes to people who had foreclosed and could not buy a new home. But then what happened was they ran out of houses to buy as the economy cycled back up, and now we're where they are. And so these companies, one of them is called, I think it's Americans Homes for Rent, where they are now building entire subdivisions of homes, and they are doing this in the Treasure Valley to rent. So there's entire subdivisions in the Treasure Valley that are now rentals. And that's not a bad thing. I think there's a lot of bad things that are said about rentals and how they bring back neighborhood, and they are harmful to people. And maybe people who are not responsible are renters. And I'm not trying to say that, but what that does is that by creating these subdivisions, these whole swaths of rental homes, what were single family homes that would otherwise be sold on the market, it tightens the market for people that want to buy homes. And then it puts the people that rent those single family homes that are pretty nice at a disadvantage, because they're paying high rents. They're paying, you know, $1,500, $1,600 a month to rent when they could have a mortgage for a lower price. But because they're paying all that rent, because there's no home to buy, they can't save up enough for a down payment. And so it creates this cycle of these haves and these have-nots. And then whenever you add it on top of that, buying a home, owning a home, adds to your generational wealth, because then if you own that home when you die, that's another inheritance that goes to your grandkids and sort of elevates your family. And so if you, it's going to, over time, increase the class divide between certain subsets of Americans of who has money and who has social mobility and mm-hmm. can determine their own life and who can't.
And also, Margaret, let's talk quickly also about apartments and office buildings, because we're also seeing these real estate investors coming in potentially and picking up apartment complexes. So it's not just single family homes.
No, you're right. And there has been an increased interest in purchases of apartment buildings and office buildings. And what happens whenever investors have always wanted to buy apartment buildings. This isn't a new thing. You know, I see a lot of sort of mm-hmm. posts on social media about, hey, you can own an apartment complex and then never work again a day in your life. You know, so this is not a new concept. But what happens whenever these out-of-state companies buy apartment complexes, they have to take out debt to buy it normally. So then what do you do when you have debt? You need to bring in more money to pay off that debt, so you increase rents. And a lot of times people who talk about having their rents increased are people that had their apartment complex get purchased. So that is another upward pressure on rents, because if someone were to buy my apartment complex, they would need to up the rent in order to make the purchase worth their while. And I've heard of rent increases of a couple hundred dollars a month, you know, coming all at once, or people's leases getting terminated and all sorts of things. So that's another upward mobility on cost of living in the Treasure Valley. And it's just from these out-of-state numbers. I talked to a broker who was saying, yeah, I'm seeing more and more people wanting to buy these apartment complexes. And now for each property, there's dozens and dozens of buyers who are interested in each one that go up on the market.
And then also, here's what I think is interesting too, is as you mentioned with office buildings, you would think that with the pandemic, more people working from home, you know, there's been so much talk, Margaret, about what work life will look like, right? Post-pandemic, with a lot of people speculating, well, will we even need these big office buildings? That is not what you found though.
Right. So vacancies have increased a little bit in the Treasure Valley, but what we're seeing in the Treasure Valley, as opposed to what you see in big places like the Bay Area, DC, New York, you name it, is companies in the Treasure Valley are keeping their lease. Everyone might be working at home, right? But more Treasure mm-hmm. Valley companies are keeping their lease with the intention for people to come back once things get, you know, calmer on the public health front. And so that's making these office buildings a pretty good investment still. And then what's going to happen is as the Treasure Valley grows, we're going to need more office space because downtown Boise has this critical mass of office space, right? But we mm-hmm. also have big office parks popping up in Eagle and Meridian, and that could even climb further out, you know, into Canyon County, into Caldwell. I mean, office space in Caldwell is basically, it's really hard to find because for a long time it was a farm town. It was the city that supported a lot of those big agriculture interests in Canyon County. And now as more and more people are moving out there, companies might want to have an office to say, well, you know, why don't we just have our headquarters in Caldwell? And so that's going to further increase the pressure on the prices as more people want office buildings. They want them in different places throughout the Treasure Valley. Plus, whenever you're in a pandemic, people are going to want a little bit more space. I think about my office space prior to the pandemic. I worked in an office where I had a desk and there was no cubicle around me. And I had another person that had a desk across from me, no cubicle. And we were just facing each other, working on our laptops all day, breathing on each other. No one wants to, it's kind of uncomfortable pre-pandemic, but no one wants to do that after the pandemic. And people want more space. They want offices with doors and better ventilation and just kind of more elbow room. And so that means, well, maybe an office, a company that would have half a floor in an office building might now have an entire floor. And that's going to they're going to pay a higher rent, and then you need to build more space. So I think that we're still seeing how Idaho is going to react to the change in work and office buildings here post-pandemic. But you can say that the big national headlines out of those major metros, that you cannot say that is what's happening in Boise. That's, you know, we're in a different universe, right, of how we're handling this transition mm-hmm. back to work post COVID-19.
Well, Margaret, I always appreciate you coming in. Excellent reporting as always by you. Thank you for breaking this down for us. Really appreciate your time.
I appreciate you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Margaret Carmel, reporter with BoiseDev.com. Of course, we will link Margaret's stories to our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Make sure you check out BoiseDev.com as well to check out all of Margaret's work. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.